That's good, isn't it? The Holy Ghost with light and power dwell in me. Luke chapter 15. Started to say, thank you, John. Thank you, Sally. Luke chapter 15. Let's read the text. Luke 15. The Lord gave this parable in three parts. We're taking each part singularly. He gave the part of the shepherd finding the sheep. That's why he came. And now the work of the Holy Spirit. Verse 8. Either what woman, having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it? And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and neighbors together, say, rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I had lost. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repented. The Lord gave this parable, as you know, to illustrate salvation, the work of God, salvations of the Lord. Nothing could be clearer from Scripture than what he says here, till he find it. And when he finds it. Who found who? Who's looking for who? Nothing could be clearer than what the Lord said here about the work of salvation, salvations of the Lord, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. These three are one. These three are equal in person and power in their work. They're all together in this work, our salvation, seeking and finding. This whole story is about seeking and finding lost sinners. That's how it started. Pharisees tried to dishonor Christ by saying, this man receiveth sinners. Well, yes, he did. That's why he came. He came into the world to seek and to save lost sinners. Not try, but to find them. And when he finds them, he rejoices, and so do we. So this is, salvation is the work of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Election, we've often summarized it this way. Election by the Father, redemption by the Son, regeneration by the Holy Spirit. But they're all equal. Who God, the Father chose, the Son chose, the Holy Spirit chose, right? Who God loves, Son loves, His Spirit loves. It even says that, Christ died for us, but it says, feed the church of God, which He purchased with His own blood. So, the three are together in all of this work. The Father seeks, the Son seeks, the Holy Spirit. Christ is the light, the Holy Spirit takes the light. God is light. You see? And we want to honor the Holy Spirit like we honor the Father and the Son, right? They're equal. We need to. We worship the Holy Spirit. Yes, we do. I have to admit, the Holy Spirit is the most mysterious of the three persons of the Trinity. Don't you feel that way? I feel like we know something of the Father. This is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ. He's come and given us an understanding that we might know Him that's true. But the Holy Spirit. God is Spirit, the Father's Spirit, or the Holy Spirit's Spirit. I don't understand. Do you? It can't be explained. But they're three persons, separate yet one. The Holy Spirit, mysterious. And yet our Lord said, in John 14, I believe, He said, the world doesn't know Him, but you know Him. Remember that, John? Remember when He said that? You know Him. The world doesn't know Him. You know Him because He dwells in you. If any man hath not the Spirit of God, he's not his. Every child of God is led by the Spirit of God. He said, you know Him. I'm amazed at how much is attributed to the Holy Spirit. Just listen as I quote some scripture to you. In Romans 8, the first 16 verses, He's mentioned 16 times. And Acts, as I said, 40 some times. He descended in the form of a dove on our Lord. He commanded the disciples all through the book of Acts. Our Lord said, I'm leaving. It's expedient that I go. If I don't go, the Holy Spirit won't come. But when He does, He's going to... the Holy Spirit wasn't given while Christ was on this earth. You understand? He said, I'm going, and when I go, the Comforter will come, and He's going to be with you always, leading, guiding, direct you. He commanded the disciples in Acts chapter 1. He's the one that commanded them. And then, remember Philip in Acts chapter 8, where it says Philip was led by the Spirit down there to preach to that eunuch. And it says He carried him away. The Spirit took him away through the air. I don't know. He sent preachers to the Gentiles. He spoke in the Revelation. Those letters were from the Spirit. Hear what the Spirit saith unto the church. Right, John? He searcheth all things. He teacheth all things. He leads and guides into all truth. We're born of the Spirit, washed in His blood. Christ said, except you're born of water and Spirit, you're not in the kingdom. He comforts God's people. He restrains. He constrains. We may quench Him. Oh, don't quench the Spirit. We're warned not to quench the Spirit. That is, you need to listen to what He said. Don't let anything drown Him out, extinguish. We're warned not to grieve Him. We're triply warned not to blaspheme Him. He said it will not be forgiven. But Holy Spirit's... He's God. He's God. He's called the Spirit of God. He's called the Spirit of Christ. At the incarnation of Christ, listen to this. That seed, that holy thing, was put in her womb by the Spirit. Explain that. At Christ's ministry, when Christ came, the Holy Spirit, as I said, anointed Him and filled Him. He was filled with the Spirit. I'm speaking things too wonderful for me right now. Things I don't fully understand. But it's amazing. At the sacrifice of Christ, it says, through the eternal Spirit, He offered Himself to God. What does that mean, John? At His resurrection, He was quickened by the Spirit. Raised by the Spirit. The apostles were filled with the Spirit, gifted by the Spirit, empowered by the Spirit, and on it goes. I could keep going. The salvation of every person, we're quickened by the Spirit, we're called by the Spirit, we're made alive, we're born of the Spirit, we're convinced of sin, we're convicted of sin by the Spirit, of righteousness and judgment, we're given repentance, we're sealed by the Spirit. Indwelled by the Spirit. Sanctified by the Spirit. I thought we were sanctified by Christ. We are. Well, you just said the Spirit. Yes. He's the Spirit of truth. And I've just given the whole thing away. It's not something you didn't already know. In John 14 and 16, you know, He says the Comforter will come and what He's going to do. Is take the things of mine and show them unto you. The light that He gives is Christ. Is it? All right, now let's look at this parable, this brief parable. And the Holy Spirit is in the form of a woman here. Not because of weakness. Oh, no. Not inferiority. Oh, no. Oh, no. But as a woman who gives birth, raises children, and a keeper of the house. Keeper and sweeper. All right, look at it. Either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle, sweep the house, and seek diligently till she finds him. This woman, the Holy Spirit is given here as in the type of a woman. As I said, a woman gives birth and raises children and leads them and guides them and keeper of the home. And now, and also we're going to see the woman represent in the church. And the Holy Spirit does His work in the context of the church. We read Proverbs 3:4-8. Wisdom is a female. I thought wisdom was Christ. It is. But the wisdom, where do you hear of Christ? Did you first see Christ? Where did the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ appear to you? When did the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in His wings to you? When the gospel was preached. The illuminating power of the Holy Spirit, He took the gospel and opened the ears. So that's the sense of this woman here. Silver. All right, what woman having 10 pieces of silver? Now, this woman had 10 pieces. They were all hers, but she lost one of them. Okay? Scripture says, all souls are mine. That's what God said. All souls are mine, but especially the souls of His saints who have been redeemed with a precious price. And you know what I'm going to quote in a little bit. But silver throughout the Scriptures is used extensively. In the Old Testament, shekel. Silver was the price of the redemption of God's people throughout. And here's the point. What is the value of a human soul? A human life? I'm not talking right now to God, the value to God, but to us. What is your soul worth to you? What is the soul of that woman you love? What is that life worth? God has given that. It's an invaluable thing, isn't it? Life and soul. One old preacher wrote that no man can adequately or truly understand the worth of a human soul. I quoted this to a preacher who was bemoaning that he had very few people to preach to. And I remember reading this when I first started. An old preacher was talking to a young man, and the young man was he wanted more people. And the old man said, how many are you preaching to? He said, 10 or 15. He said, that's 10 or 15 more souls than you want to give an account for in the day of judgment. John Newton said, a man would greatly overestimate his own worth if he did not feel it worth his time to give 10,000 years for the salvation of one soul. And if that soul is that man sitting beside you, it's invaluable, isn't it? You have one soul. You're a living soul, each of you. What would you give in exchange for your soul? That's what the Lord asked, didn't it? And mankind has no regard for his soul. None. No value. A human life, really, or other life of others, but his own soul. He doesn't think about his soul. He thinks about his body. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, that's what man's all about. If man valued his soul or his eternal, soul is eternal. Body dies, the soul goes back to the God who made it. And it's going to live on somewhere. Either in agony or ecstasy. Cast out or brought in. If man valued his soul, he wouldn't sell it so cheaply. He wouldn't risk it. He wouldn't ignore it. He wouldn't starve it. I thought about a woman with an unborn child. You know, it's unseen. But she, you know, if she's a good mother and been given this child. You remember when you were pregnant? You remember that, don't you? I remember Mindy telling me how much she enjoyed being pregnant. Trying to explain to me what was. I couldn't enter into that. Why? Why would you enjoy that? And she did. She, this life in her. Oh, she cherished it. But you don't even know. Oh, it's life, all right. Is that first flutter, Tammy Jo? Ooh. Margaret, you wouldn't have given anything, would you? And you labored and travailed in birth till that child was born. Precious. Precious. What would you give for those babies now? Grandbabies. Oh, my. But now the sinful soul. Man became a sinner. God made man a living soul. We breathed into him, Adam, and he became a living soul. But that soul of man died. Rebelled against God. Willingly rebelled against God. And so the sinful soul of man is of no value to God Almighty whatsoever. Useless. He's against God. We saw that. The carnal mind is against God. Enmity against God. No, God doesn't value every soul. In fact, God has, God does right now, and ever shall, destroy millions of souls. It's not because He's mean or hateful. God is love. The soul, sinful soul, rebel souls against God, have no value to God. You understand? How can a soul be of any value to God? Somebody's got to pay the price. You're bought with a price. Not by corruptible things, such as silver and gold, and your own vain tradition or conversation or life, a tradition received from the elders and so on and so forth. Not by anything you've done, but with the precious blood of the Lamb. You know, all through the Old Testament, silver represents the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're the temple of God, okay? At the temple of God, there were fence posts and all these curtains surrounding the courtyard. I don't forget how many there were. How many there were, somebody can tell me. But there were many. And every one of those fence posts was set in sockets of silver. The foundation, you know, silver is heavier than iron ore. It conducts more heat than anything else. It reflects. What's behind the mirror? What reflects light best, better than anything? Silver. You, if you've been redeemed by Christ, are a precious piece of silver. Your soul is of infinite value to God Almighty. He's not going to lose one. He's not going to lose one that Christ died for. No, sir. The price is too high. You understand? So He sends the Holy Spirit to find it. Find that lost piece of silver. Oh, my. Silver, this too. Silver, where is silver found in its original state? Huh? In the earth. In the dirt. Hidden, buried. What has to happen? Dig it out of there. Then what do? Refine it. Remove the dross. Oh, my. Adornments, jewelry, use silver. Every child of God is redeemed by the blood of Christ, bought with a price, and I'm here to tell you from God's Word, if you've been redeemed by Christ, you're loved by God, you've been given to Christ, and you're of great value to God. He's not going to lose you. You're not going to lose you. Now, this value is not in and of ourselves. God doesn't need gold or silver. Does He? No. He doesn't need human beings. He didn't need Adam. Why did He create Adam? For His glory. For His glory. Well, what good is God going to get out of us? We're going to give Him glory. When we're lost, we're of no use to God. But if He finds us, we're going to give Him glory. Are you with me? The sheep, the coin, and the son were all lost, dead. So they weren't any good in that state. But after found, the shepherd gets the glory, the woman gets the glory, and the father gets the glory. They bring him glory for finding them when they were lost. And God does all of this to the praise of the glory of His grace. This is our only value, really, to God, is to give Him praise and honor and glory for finding and saving us. He didn't need us. He didn't need us. We needed Him. But we're going to give Him glory. And look at verse 8. So she takes, if she loses this peace, it's the work of the Holy Spirit to get you lost. You say, I don't understand. Yeah, you do. You know, you understand. I don't have to explain it to you. But if anybody doesn't understand, there's an old poem in our Gatsby's hymnal that says that a sinner is a sacred thing. The Holy Spirit has made himself. Meaning, you can't find a sinner out there. Can you? Go out there looking for one. Ask people for a sinner. I mean a hell-deserving, one God deserves to hate, and cast out of His presence. Find one. You can't find one. What do you think about yourself? That's what you think about yourself. Who told you that? Who convinced you of sin? Christ said. When He comes, He'll convince you of sin. What sin? Sin in the world? No, yours! Conviction of sin. Righteousness. Who told you you needed a righteousness as good as God's? Who told you that? The Holy Spirit. Judgment. Who told you that you'll either be judged by God on your own merits or the merits of another? Who told you that? The Spirit of God. You didn't figure that out. Flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you. It's the Spirit of God. He'll lead you and guide you into all truth. The way, the truth, and the life. What's that? Christ. All right, look at this. Like I said, who told you you were lost? The Holy Spirit. He said, this woman will take, and if she loses a piece, and does she not light a candle? And sweep the house and seek diligently until she find, light a candle? Oh my, candle? Silver? Where do you first hear of candle in the Scripture? Candlestick. In the tabernacle, in the temple. What's that? That's the illuminating work of the Holy Spirit. That's Christ. Candle. I want you to turn to Psalm 18. While you're turning, I'm going to quote several scriptures to you. Okay? Psalm 18. Go there. Psalm 27 says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation." Who? The Lord Jesus Christ. Who told you that? The Holy Spirit. Listen to this. "In thy light shall we see light." The light, the knowledge, the glory of God. Who told you that? The Holy Spirit. Listen to this. "He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light." Your righteousness? What is your righteousness? Christ. What's 1 Corinthians 1:30 say? He's made unto us. Who told you that? The Holy Spirit. Psalm 43:3. "O send out thy light and thy truth." Look at Psalm 18. This is the Psalm of the Cross. Verse 2. "The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler, the horn of my salvation, my high tower." Is He really? Who taught you that? Spirit of God. "I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemy." By who? How? Christ crucified. Read it. Here's Christ. "The sorrows of death compassed me. The floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented me. In my distress I called upon the Lord. My God, That's Christ on the cross. He heard my voice out of his temple. My cry came before him into his ears. The earth shook and trembled. The foundation of the hills moved, shaking. He was wroth. Smoke went out of his nostrils, fire out of his mouth. Coals were kindled by it. Bowed the heavens also, came down darkness under his feet. Rode upon a cherub and did fly. Yeah, he did fly upon the wings of the wind. He made darkness his secret place. His pavilion around about him were dark waters, thick clouds of sky. Look at verse 28. But thou wilt light my candle. Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. Do you not see clearly that that psalm was about Christ on the cross crucified? Darkness of death and hell and judgment out of the belly of hell. Like Jonah. You know what Jonah and the whale is all about, don't you? It's Christ crucified. You know that. Out of the belly of hell. That's where Christ went. But he lit his candle. Enlightened his darkness. The Holy Spirit brought him out of that tomb. I believe it was the Holy Spirit said, go back at door. Come on out. Someone once said, listen, I love this thought, that if you've been put in prison for a crime, and you pay the crime, but you can't just walk out on your own. You've got to be, if the law is satisfied, then the law must come and open that door and demand that you go free, thus showing everyone it's been satisfied. So do you see? God said, send His Holy Spirit, go open that door. It's been fulfilled. Ordinances have been nailed to the cross. Payments been made. Justice satisfied. Bring him out of there. Bring him out. We came out with him. Quickened by his spirit. That's what that means. Christ of his own accord rose, but he was quickened by the spirit. Showing that he satisfied. Does that make sense? Paul one time was wrongly accused. And they came and said, it was going out. I said, no, I demand that the judges set me free. I haven't done anything. So this candle is Christ. Go back to the text. The light of the knowledge of the glory of God is seen in the face, the person, and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to this. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. If you look to the earth, all you'll see is darkness, dimness, and anguish, and be driven to darkness. But some people like us that walked in darkness, we were in darkness even as others, but we've seen a great light. Who showed us the light? The Spirit of God. Like this woman. All right, look at our text. It says she takes a candle and lightens the house. What's the house? That's God's house. It's a church. That's your soul. Temple of God. And then she sweeps the house. We're going to finish by singing that. She sweeps the house. She diligently searches and sweeps. The Holy Spirit sweeps away all refuges of lies. The Holy Spirit sweeps away all superstition. When He comes and finds us, what He does is He finds all sorts of garbage in this wicked, sinful soul, especially in religion. Our Lord told the story of a devil living in the soul, an unregenerate soul, and he left, and he came back and found it swept and garnished, decorated, but not by the Spirit of God. And he brought seven more spirits more vile than himself. Now, religion won't get rid of all this stuff. It brings more in. But he sweeps away all these refuges of lies, superstitions, tradition. When the Holy Spirit comes, he sweeps away everything, every opinion of man, all your excuses for your sin. He exposes you. He finds out your sin. In the white light of His truth, He leaves you naked, open, bare, guilty, lost, undone, unclean, wretched, vile, and miserable, hopeless, and helpless. So that you have no help whatsoever in yourself. He swept everything clean away, and all you are is naked and exposed. How does He do that? By the Word of God, by the light of His Word. Hebrews 4:12. And then what does He show you? Your covering. Your sin payment. Cry. Now look at verse 9. And when she had found it. Not if, but when. Not if, but when. As said, the coin didn't find a woman. The sheep didn't find a shepherd. They weren't even looking. But the shepherd was looking for the sheep and the woman for the coin. And nothing clearer from Scripture than salvation of the Lord. And verse 9 says, when she had found it, she calls her friends and her neighbors together. They get together like we are now. Our Lord in John's Gospel said, I call you friends because I show you everything. They said, and when they find out that the Lord has found another sinner, He says, rejoice with me. Don't we meet together to worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in the Lord Jesus Christ? Rejoice with me. Rejoice in me. Rejoice in the Lord. And again I say rejoice, Paul said. Why? Because I have found the peace which is love. Rejoice in what I've done. We talk about Christ's work every time we meet, don't we? Why is that? Because it's our joy and rejoicing. When we tell people what great things the Lord has done for us, what has He done for us? I was lost, now I'm found. I was blind, now I see. I was lame, now I walk. I was deaf, now I hear. I was outcast, now I'm in cast. Brought in. I was an enemy, now I'm a friend, a neighbor, a fellow citizen of the household of God. I was dead, now I'm alive. That's my story, isn't it your story? That's what we do. If that's what the Lord's done for you, you'll never get tired of it. You won't want to hear a man say anything else. And look at this. This is a mystery. And He says this in first and second part. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repented. That's amazing. Does that amaze you? I don't believe, based on Scripture, I don't believe the saints and brethren in glory are aware of what's going on earth. I don't believe that. In fact, the Scripture says that former things will not be remembered or brought to mind. Isaiah 65. But somehow the angels are. They are. They're given charge over every one of God's people. So they're actively involved in the lives of every one of God's people. And I love the thought of the angels when Christ came to earth. Maybe the Lord did not tell them what He was doing. He didn't have to. But they watched and they ministered. They did all of this. And they ministered to Christ when He was bleeding in the garden. What's going through their mind? All right, He gives charge over every one of God's people. And here they are in the depths of sin, depravity. And the angels, according to God's purpose and will, and let so much go on and restrain the rest. Don't kill anybody, like Job. And all of a sudden they see God working, and now I'm getting way over my head here. But then when God, the Holy Spirit sends and starts doing this work in them and starts this change, this life-giving change in this dead sinner, And then all of a sudden, you know, they never gave God a thought. Now they're thinking about God. And then all of a sudden, like Saul of Tarsus, who hated the church, don't you know that angels wonder, why won't you let us kill him? Mm-mm. He's one of mine. Watch. And all of a sudden, they repent. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Yes! Now we know why we're sent. Now we know why we watched over them. Now we know this is one of His. I don't know. That's a sanctified imagination, but you can't refute it. It says that there's joy in presence of the angel over one sinner that repents. Now, you want to tell me that God's people are not valuable to Him? Oh. Those in glory don't know who's coming in. The angels do. The Lord does. Stand with me.